Good morning. It is good to be with you again this week. What a beautiful day the Lord has given us. As we get started this morning, I want us to think about disasters, bad things that happen. That is what Jesus was talking about in this passage from Luke's Gospel. It starts off when people come and tell him about a disaster. Galileans who were murdered by Pilate. Now, probably not by Pilate directly, but by soldiers who were under his authority. They had been killed, and they were there in Jerusalem to offer sacrifices to God, and instead their blood was mixed in with the blood of their sacrifices. How do people understand that? And then Jesus raises another situation, the tower at Siloam that fell. Of course, this is a drawing of it. It probably didn't look exactly like that. But a tower fell and 18 people were killed. And the possible explanation that Jesus offers each time had to do with the sin of the people who were killed. Were they worse sinners than everybody else? Were the Galileans worse sinners that died than all the other Galileans that are still alive? For the people in Jerusalem, were those 18 who were killed worse sinners, more guilty than all the other people in Jerusalem that are still alive? That kind of interpretation, that strain of interpretation, existed among the Jewish people, not only in Jesus' day, but in the centuries before that. If we think back to the book of Job, Job was a righteous man. It tells us that at the beginning. He was pleasing to God in his life, but God allowed Satan to test him. And in that testing, he suffered terrible disease. His children were killed, and all of his wealth was taken away. Some of those in his circle of friends thought, well, Job, you must be a sinner. You have to be a sinner that all these terrible things have happened to you. You had to be wicked before God that all this has happened to you. Well, that wasn't the case. He had not been sinning before God in an awful way that these terrible things happened. Sometimes that's the interpretation. I heard that kind of issue being raised in my own childhood. I was 15 the summer that one of my cousins was killed in a car accident. And I remember that my aunt and uncle struggled, at least to some degree, with the question, did we do something in terms of sin, or did our son Stephen do something in terms of sin that this happened to him? Is that the explanation? Jesus, of course, has a different explanation. When trouble comes to us, sometimes we're asking, why me? Why is this happening to me? It doesn't seem fair. Why am I singled out that this should be mine to bear when other people don't have to deal with this? Now, if you had opportunities to see me interacting with my little sister most of the time, probably most of the time I would be picking on her and making fun of her. Old habits die hard. But really, I have to say I have great respect for my sister in what she has been through in the last year and in how she handled that. My sister was diagnosed with, uterine cancer. Diagnosed with uterine cancer not quite a year ago for diagnosis and has gone through the treatments, and now her treatment phase is finished. I really admire the grace and the faith with which she faced that. She was dealing with a lot of pain, and then in terms of the treatment, she had to deal with great difficulty. And of course, when that cancer word is in play, hanging over that is this going to take my life? She could have maybe spent a lot of time really angry saying, why me? Why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? That wasn't what my sister did. And actually, I was kind of amazed when I heard from my mom the kind of attitude that Liz had when I heard it first. Because her attitude was, why not me? Why not me? You know, cancer is part of life and people get it. So why wouldn't I get it? As opposed to someone else getting it. When I talked to Liz herself, she even took that a step further, and I was even more impressed that it wasn't just why not me in a random sense, but why not me? I'm a person that has faith in God. Why not me? I'm a person that has a family around me that's going to be able to support me, and I have friends that are going to be able to support me. She was looking at it that, you know, maybe it's better that she suffered this than someone else that didn't have faith in God or someone else that didn't have a family that was going to be able to walk with them and support them and help them. You see why I admire her in that? And that's one area where I'm not going to pick on her about that. And in a sense, when looking at the disasters that Jesus talked about and faced, and if we think about disasters that happen in our own world and suffering that happens in our own world, why not me? In terms of what we deserve, in terms of what we would earn if we were earning anything from God, it would be to be murdered by Pilate, or to have a tower fall on our heads, or to have a tornado come by and tear us to shreds, or whatever. That's what we earn. Because we're sinners. We disobey God. We rebel against God. We want to live our own way instead of God's way. And we hurt other people. We say things that hurt other people. We do things that hurt other people. Sometimes there is something good that should be done to help another person. And we don't do it. You know, day by day in our life, over and over again, we sin. That is part of who we are, because we have a fallen human nature. And in terms of what we deserve from a holy God who is completely good, what we deserve is what God did to all the people in the day of Noah, except for Noah and his family, when the whole earth was wiped out and only they were spared. That's what we deserve. And so when Jesus says, were these Galileans worse sinners than others, were those who had the tower fall on them and they died, were they worse than others? No. No, they weren't. The Galileans who were still living, they would have deserved the same thing. And those in Jerusalem that the tower didn't fall on them, they would have deserved the same thing in terms of sinfulness. Those who suffer those things aren't any worse than the rest of us. And then he gives a warning. And the warning comes out of that idea of what we deserve. Repent, or you will all likewise perish. Repent, or you will all likewise perish. Because the people in the crowd to whom Jesus was speaking, they were sinners too. And they needed to repent and turn away from that. Something that followed on about 30 years after this conversation between Jesus and the people. Jerusalem was destroyed. The Jewish people rebelled against the Romans. And the Roman legions came and they fought against the Jewish people, and many of the people were killed, and the city was besieged, and it was taken and destroyed. Even the temple was thrown down. So there was a time of great suffering that came, not just on a few people here and there, but on thousands and thousands of them. Repent, or you will all likewise perish. We think about repentance. The U-turn sign maybe can help us to understand what it means. Repentance is a big word. It means that we're changing our mind. At least that's the literal sense of it. But really, it means that you're going one way in disobedience to God, in selfishness and hurting other people. And repentance is confessing that to God and turning around so that now your life is back to being God's way. And you're living God's way as best you can. And you want to please God. I had, quite a few years ago now, a rather embarrassing experience when driving a car. This happened in the time between Beth and I, when Beth and I met, and when we actually got married. In that intervening time, there was a family wedding in her family. Her cousin was getting married. And for that wedding, Beth and I went out to Connecticut, and we were there. We were going to go to the wedding. I had previously met her parents and her two sisters. But this was the weekend when I got to meet the rest of the family. I got to meet her aunts and uncles, her cousins. I got to meet her grandparents. And the time came, it was time to go to the wedding, and for some reason, some of her family wanted to follow me as I was driving. Now, this was, I can't remember if it was late in 2002 or 2003, Beth could probably tell you the date, but it was sometime in that time frame, and GPS was not really well known in those days. And smartphones had not been invented. Now, people had cell phones, but they weren't very smart. Basically, you would dial a number and call and talk to somebody. That's pretty much what it was. So we were driving along and trying to follow the directions and, you know, the map of how things were supposed to go. And wouldn't you know it, I took a wrong turn. Now, if it had only been me and Beth, that would have been a little embarrassing, but not a big deal. You know, if she missed her cousin's wedding after driving out there, at least we would still be together and we were in love, so it would have been okay. But her parents and grandparents were in the vehicle behind us. And if the grandparents didn't make it to the granddaughter's wedding because they got lost, because this new guy that was dating Beth got lost, that would not have been good. It was embarrassing. But I turned around. I was going the wrong way, but I turned around. Turned the car around. We were able to get back on where we were supposed to be and follow the directions the rest of the way, and we got to the wedding. We turn around. In life, there are times when we are doing things our own way, and we're being disobedient to God, or we're hurting the people around us. And we're not to continue going that same way. Repentance is that we turn the other way and do what's right. Now, as we think about this message today, and in the sense that, you know, those that experience disaster are not any worse than the rest of us, but all of us need to repent or we'll perish. That message comes to us probably in a couple of different ways, depending on our own situation. Most of us who are in this sanctuary this morning, I don't know about every single person, because I don't know every single person's heart, but most of us, I'm sure, are followers of Jesus Christ. We do believe in Christ. We are His disciples. And so when we hear a message of repentance, it's not that our whole life has to change from what it's been, because that's already happened at some point along the way. We've already come to Christ. But it could be that there's one thing or there's two things that lately we haven't been doing what's right. Maybe it's some words that we said, or maybe it's something that we did, or the Spirit was leading us to do something for another person and we didn't. Whatever that may be, one or two things. That God may search out our heart and call us to repent of those specific issues and get back to doing things God's way. So that's probably the case for most of us this morning, but it could be that there may be one or two people here that have never been followers of Jesus Christ. And so that call for repentance is not just one or two issues, but it's about turning the whole of your life around from a life that's been lived in your own purposes and in your own way to turning that life over to Jesus and living it His way. There are some words in Romans that talk about that bigger issue. Romans chapter 3, Paul goes to considerable length to show how impossible it is that we would please God based on our actions. We're sinners. We have a nature that bends us away from God so that it bends us to do what's wrong. And so we can't keep God's law 100% all the time. So because we can't keep it all the time, that means we can't be perfect in God's sight based on our actions. But God has given us another way. And starting at verse 21, Paul writes, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known to us, which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned." That gets back to the issue that Jesus was looking at. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." As Christians, we believe that we can't please God on our own. But God has made a way for us to be at peace with Him a way for us to be forgiven. And that way is in Jesus. This time of the year, we're getting ready for Easter. And again, in the church, we're going to remember that Jesus suffered. Now we're going to remember that he was crucified. We're going to remember that he died as the sacrifice for sin. And that he rose again to have life forever. And as we trust in him, as we trust in what God has done in him, we can be forgiven. So maybe there's one or two people here this morning that's the kind of trust you need to come to. That you need to turn away from your own way and turn to being a disciple of Jesus and trusting in him. So if that's the case, I hope that you'll respond to that message of the scripture and do that today. I'd like for us to take just some moments of quiet prayer. And in that silence, invite the Holy Spirit to be searching our hearts. And if there is one or two or maybe 10 things of which we need to repent, then let's do that now. And any who are here that are maybe hearing that pull of the Spirit, feeling that pull of the Spirit to follow Jesus for the first time, pray that you'll be listening to the Spirit and responding to that too. Let us pray. Oh Lord, thank you for the good news that when we confess our sin before you, when we repent of it, you are faithful and just. You forgive us of our sin, and you purify us from all unrighteousness, from everything that is unclean. Thank you for hearing our prayers this morning.